Hi, and welcome back to the Coffee, Cake, and Kegels podcast. I'm your host, Stacey. So guys, I know it's been a long time, and I know I keep doing this periodically. I'll record, and then I don't record for months, and then I record and don't record for months. And I used to be pretty gung-ho on making sure I recorded at least once or twice a month. But the truth be told, and I just want to be honest with my listeners, is I've been going through it. I have. And I've been busy on top of it, and I just felt that I owed it to the people who've been supporting this podcast from its conception. I owe you a reason. And I do also want to apologize for not being in the mindset to deliver content. And, you know, I could say it until I'm blue in the face that it's because I don't feel well and whatever. But at the end of the day, recording for you does make me feel well. And it gives me hope and it gives me purpose. And I just have been being it. Did you ever hear that term? That's what I've been. I've just been being it. And so I want to just kind of let you guys know where I've been, what's been going on, why am I being it, and how the F am I getting out of it? So as most of you know who've been listening, my husband last May suffered cardiac arrest 3 times in a day. And he had to receive a pacemaker. The pacemaker was put in wrong, and he had to have a second surgery for a second pacemaker. All in the midst of us having a major home renovation, which I am so grateful for because I love my kitchen now. Call me bougie, but I always wanted an island in a kitchen because I enjoy cooking and baking and feeding people and entertaining, and I just always wanted an island. And yes, I have my island, but damn, renovations are stressful and nothing was going right. We kept running into problems. And then on top of that, everything happened with my husband. And I'm like, oh my God, when it rains, it pours. We know the saying, right? So when that happened to my husband, it literally triggered so many things in me. Now, I'm not sure if you know this. I'm pretty sure I did an episode about this, but my best friend Justin passed away. He had a rare cancer when he was 26 years old. It was very aggressive. And, you know, he was my best friend. He was gay, so we were never interested in each other in any kind of way other than friendship. And I truly adored this man. He was an angel on earth, a truly good human being. Definitely taught me lessons, which I'm going to get to a little later on because it's just really strange in the most energetic, people connecting to the afterlife way possible, but I'll explain that as we get a little bit more into this. So anyway, when everything happened to, you know, it just triggered all those emotions, like, oh my God, I'm gonna lose him. Because of course, after my friend Justin died, I felt that I was destined to just lose the men in my life. I was destined to lose men that I loved. And I know that's a belief I was stuck in because it's not true. My dad is still with us. He's going to be 80. And I haven't lost any other men unless they were breakups, which were meant to be, you know? So it wasn't like that, but I just felt like, oh my God, you know, I can't lose my husband. My children need a father. They're still too young. You know, all these things went through my head. And that was a major stress in my life. On top of this renovation, that was not only a stress physically, but internally, there was dust being kicked up and God knows what else. I mean, this house was built in the 80s and, you know, there's definitely mold here somewhere hidden, but it, you know, kicking up dust and all that stuff too. So now you're breathing that in, it's stressing the immune system on top of a emotional stress, stressing the immune system. And I progressively began to just not feel that good. And I started to gain weight. And I'm like, what's going on? Is it my thyroid? Is it this? Is it that? You know, like, what is it? So I decided to go to a functional doctor, and I couldn't get an appointment with her until February. So I went to her about an hour from my home, and she ran this amazing panel of blood work on me. 36 vials of blood, okay? 36 vials. I thought I was gonna pass out. And she ran this blood work, and it was very alarming what was showing on the blood work. So my Epstein-Barr levels are through the roof. So it's presenting as if I am in an active infection of Epstein-Barr. Now, if you don't know what Epstein-Barr is, it is a virus. And there are some misconceptions that go with this virus. People think that you get Epstein-Barr from having mono, but that's not right. Mono is its own virus. Epstein-Barr is an airborne virus you can contract anywhere. You can get it from food, you can get it from people, you can just get it from the air. And what happens is that Epstein-Barr is a stealth virus, similar to Lyme's disease in that way, where it learns how to hide in the body and then something triggers it to awaken. Epstein-Barr actually hides in the liver, and something will trigger it to awaken, and it could be stress, it could be environmental toxins, it can be another virus like COVID, it could be anything. So, you know, it could be mono. You can get mononucleosis, and then you often get diagnosed afterwards with Epstein-Barr. That's why people are like, oh, mono causes Epstein-Barr, but it does not. It's been scientifically proven and studied for many, many years. It is not the cause. Mono is not the cause of Epstein-Barr. It's a huge misconception. Anyway, my Epstein-Barr levels are through the roof. Unfortunately, with Epstein-Barr, Epstein-Barr is a trigger for autoimmune diseases, such as rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Sjogren's disease, and cancers. What often triggers this Epstein-Barr, aside from stress, is also parasitic infection. So anyway, I go to the doctor, I'm talking to her about it. And, you know, she was impressed with my knowledge of health and offered me a job. So I work for her 2 days a week, Thursdays and Fridays. And I see my own private clients for counseling and energy work, which I have now created this. I didn't really create it, but I have developed a way to work with people focusing on removing beliefs they're stuck in using energy work, but also using counseling as well. So it's like, it's the best of both worlds, and I'm really loving and enjoying doing that. So I've been doing that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, I'm working an hour away from my home. And if you are familiar with New Jersey at all, then you understand that this time of year in New Jersey is very, very popular because of the shore points and, you know, the boardwalks and things like that. So I live down by the Jersey Shore, and my job is up north. So the commute has been pretty hairy for me, especially with not feeling the best, sitting in the car for so long. I kind of get out and I feel like a crippled 90-year-old lady. So, and no offense to 90-year-old ladies, because you know what, there's probably some 90-year-old ladies out there who are feeling better than I am. So, what my blood work showed was that I have lupus. Wow, it even feels so weird to say it out loud. I have lupus. But I know that lupus can be pushed into remission. And I know that is not the root cause of why I haven't been well. And I tested negative for lupus 2 years ago. So I know that this can be pushed back into remission. And there's certain things I had to address. And you know, I was dead set against medication, but I realized that certain medications have to put out fires. So I am hypothyroid and I was doing fine. I was doing fine with my thyroid. I felt great. Everything was good until this stress entered my life. And I decided then that, because my thyroid took a beating, as it does with stress, because they're connected to your adrenal glands and your pituitary gland. So your whole body is a system. And so I did decide to go on thyroid medication. It's natural. It's compounded specifically for me. My endocrinologist is amazing. And works with me because he knows that I'm educated and I know what I'm talking about. And he allowed me to figure out my own percentages of thyroid hormone and to see how that goes. And then if we want to tweak it, we can, you know, and such and such. So that's where I've been. I've been just navigating feeling pretty awful, and I'm finally coming out of that feeling of feeling exhausted. It even was affecting my marriage because I was never the kind of person, all right, let's be real. I was always a little on the lazy side. Not like crazy lazy, like I wouldn't do anything, but you know, listen, okay, I like my downtime. I do. I like to rest. I like to veg. I really never used to be this kind of person because I always felt guilty resting, which is another belief system and a trauma response. So I decided that I'm going to listen to my body and I'm going to rest. And the past couple of months, I could not function. I was barely hanging on. I can't even lie and sugarcoat it. I have to be real and I have to be honest. I felt like I was dying. I'm like, something's not right. I got this irritation under my eye. It looked like a bug bite. It was a lupus, you know, it's a lupus flare. It affects your skin. It affects your internal organs, specifically your heart and your kidneys. And, you know, I felt exhausted. My hair began falling out again very, very heavily. It's still falling out. But I know that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And I'm not gonna lie, guys. I'm the first person to be like helping people find hope in situations like this, but I couldn't find it for myself. I felt so defeated because I do everything right. I eat right. I listen to my body. I rest when I'm supposed to rest. I go for walks. I get sunlight. I do everything I'm supposed to do to heal my body. I take the right supplements. I meditate. And I was really fucking angry. I was, and I'm not gonna lie. Why did I have to have this disease? Why? I do everything right. And then I realized it's a lesson. It's a lesson in patience, because that's always an area I've needed to work on my whole life. And it's a lesson that it's not that God gave me lupus. It's that I got this dis-ease and God is going to help heal my body, help me heal my body so I can help others. I know that everything in my life, and I've said this on other episodes, every single thing in my life, I have been able to overcome. And that is where I draw the knowledge, the wisdom, and the energy to help others. This is just another lesson. And so, here's the weird story behind it all. When my friend Justin was dying, I went to a bookstore. I think it was a Christian bookstore, and I found this that this was an odd thing to have in a Christian bookstore because Christians don't believe in, you know, the metaphysical, and it's, you know, they just don't believe in it, and because it violates their belief system. And they don't believe in crystals and things like that. But I found this book, and it's called, so I've been, okay, let me give a backstory. So being, feeling so sickly, I'm like, I need to get back into prayer. And I know if you're listening and you're not into that, that's fine. You know, you could call it whatever you want. You can call it meditation. Meditation is prayer. It's just a different, it's not your, you know, the prayer you're raised with. And I don't do any prayers I was raised with. I don't do any of those because that to me is not prayer. It just doesn't resonate. So, but I felt strongly pulled to an actual prayer, and it was the Serenity Prayer. So I had this thought in my head, and I'm like, I need to get back into like my routine. I would wake up every day. I would go into my treatment room where I see clients, and I would just center myself, ground myself, say what I'm grateful for, say a little prayer with, you know, put an intention in for the day. I always pray for my loved ones and then go about my day, you know, like literally 5 minutes. That's all it took. But I got so far away from that because why? The truth be told, I was living in fear. When I got that diagnosis of lupus, I went completely into a state I said I'd never do again. After I had COVID, I'm like, I am never again living in fear. Never again. Now, granted, the level of fear was not as intense at all the way it was in the past, but it was still there. Because why? Because my ego was pushing this. You're sick. You're sick. You're never going to heal. You're always going to be sick. It doesn't matter what you do. And that's literally the cycle my brain was in. And so, yeah, I was feeling sorry for myself. We all have those days, and you know what? It's okay. We can have those days, but the goal is to not stay stuck there. Not stay stuck there. So anyway, I kept feeling really pulled to the Serenity Prayer. And I'm like, I don't know why. It's just weird. So my daughter was like, Mom, I want to see pictures of you when you were younger. And I want to see wedding pictures and stuff. So my husband went into the attic. And randomly, sitting on top of a box, was a picture of my friend Justin who died. Randomly, in the attic, just sitting there. Now, I'm gonna tell you, I never would have just had a loose picture of my friend sitting on top of a box. I just wouldn't. I consider his friendship to have been sacred to me, and I have a deep respect for him and our friendship and his life. So I keep everything of his in a box, but his picture was on top of it. So my daughter went to go take the box, and my husband's like, no, that's mommy's, that's a box for mommy's friend who passed away. And he's like, let me bring it downstairs to her. And he came down and he's like, This is Justin's box, right? And I said, yeah, why? And he goes, I don't know, weird. His picture was sitting on top of it. And I said, that's weird. I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me look in the box. Let me just reminisce, you know, have a good tearjerker. So I opened the box and I am looking in it. One of his flannels was in there, and letters he wrote to me and cards he gave me. And then I found the book, The Serenity Runes, 5 keys to the Serenity Prayer. So the backstory is when he was sick with cancer, I went into this Christian store, because I know I digressed from that point before. And I was like, what can I give him to give him a sense of peace to go into the afterlife? Because he was terminal and I knew he wasn't going to make it. But I'm like, what can I give him? What can bring him peace? What could bring him acceptance? What can give him courage? And it was the Serenity Prayer. So if you don't know the Serenity Prayer, I am going to recite it for you. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's such a simple prayer, yet so powerful. Now, when I was a substance abuse counselor, this is a very big prayer among people in recovery, because it's true. We have to learn to accept the things we cannot change. And we have to have courage to change what we can. But we need the wisdom to know that there is a difference between the two. Because some battles you just have to surrender to. You can't keep fighting. So when I found this book, I'm like, wow, he wanted me to have this book. He wanted me to know that this too shall pass. And it hit me. I was like, you know, it's interesting. So when I bought him this book, and after he passed away, when I went to his house to see his mother said, would you like to take anything from his room? And I was looking around his room and I really felt so uncomfortable because I don't know, that was her child. And what if I go to pick something up that she's like, no, not that. You know, I just didn't know what to take. And I'm like, I don't know what to take. And she's like, what about this book? And these, and it comes with stones. They're called the runes. It's an ancient language. And they were like little, it almost looks like a hieroglyphic drawing is on each stone, but each of that, those hieroglyphics, whatever it is, it represents acceptance, courage, and wisdom. And they're almost like, in a sense, like a worry stone. So you take the stones out of their little bag and you look at which stone resonates with you for the day. And that's the one you hold in your hand when you recite the Serenity Prayer. And like I said, each stone corresponds to something. So you can open the book and it tells you, you know, about the courage and the stone and the symbol on the stone and what it means, because there's a deeper meaning than just courage or wisdom or whatever. And so I said to her, oh, you want me to take this back? And she said, you know, Justin loved that. He read it every night. And I think he'd want you to have it. She's like, I'm sure he'd want you to have it back. So I said, okay. Now, I didn't even know my friend was reading this book that I gave it to him, but I didn't know if it was going to resonate with him or, but I'm sure that day when I was in that store, some divine presence was guiding me to get that for him. Because one day he knew I was going to need it back. So I have been reciting the Serenity Prayer for the past 2 weeks. And I have to tell you, it's been tremendously helpful in this process of healing for me. And yes, I'm sure with thyroid medication working and all these other things, I am feeling better. You know, but I'm getting back into my own practices of energy healing. You know, I still do it for other people, but I kind of stopped doing it for myself. But I'm getting back into the practice of focusing on my own self-healing and not just the physical, you know, the eating right, the taking the supplements, the blah, blah, blah. I started to focus more heavily on the spiritual components that I had been lacking. And with that, I am feeling better overall. So my message is, if you are dealing with an autoimmune disease, if you are dealing with a terminal illness, if you are dealing with a struggle in your life, whatever it may be, don't forget the spiritual side. I know it's hard when you are in darkness, but remember, when there's darkness, there's only light to see. It's you know, look for the light. It's there. I know it's hard to find, but it's there. And if you need a good prayer just to get you started, the Serenity Prayer, it's powerful. I never truly understood the power of this prayer. When I was a substance abuse counselor, we said this prayer every day. But it did not resonate with me. It did not at that time in my life, it just didn't resonate. I did not understand the power of these words until now. So I am back. I'm out of this hole. And I will be recording more regularly and steadily. My next episode will be on narcissism. I had that planned for a long time, but I couldn't do it. I just wasn't feeling it. I just couldn't do it. So with that said, I thank you for being a part of my journey, and I thank you for being there with me since, you know, the beginning of this. And I truly am grateful to be able to share my stories with you. And as always, again, thank you for listening.